I have a confession. I may be a closet pyromaniac. There is something to me absolutely fascinating about light and darkness. You ever lay out at night, watch the stars? You did as a kid, but have you done that recently? See a sunrise, sunset? Maybe watch a fireplace as the embers glow? Or maybe something as simple as a candle. Today it's in the middle of the afternoon and we have light outside, but the darker the space, the more light the candle will give. Now, I am probably like you in the sense that I like everything about Christmas. Anybody join me? The festive season, the music, Christmas carols, the stories. In the Gospel of Luke, we have the story of Mary and Joseph coming down from Nazareth. No room in the inn. The baby lying in a manger. And then the story of the angels with the glory of the Lord, a light symbolism, light imagery. The angels appearing to the shepherds and the shepherds being called to go to that scene. We flip over to the Gospel of Matthew, it's a different story. Matthew tells us that Jesus came not only for the Jewish people, but he came for all people. And that Jesus would be a light to the Gentiles, that's you and me. And then Matthew tells us that three wise men, three Gentiles from the east are the first to visit the child. Everything about the story is wondrous. Well, I have a confession, and second one, which is this. As I've grown older, I have grown to appreciate more and more the third Christmas story. The one that's in the Bible, but we don't tend to think about quite as much. It's not in Matthew, not in Luke. It's the Christmas story in the Gospel of John that you heard read a few moments ago. John chooses, instead of telling us a narrative or telling us a story, to reach into Israel's history and to pull out some very powerful symbols, very primal symbols, symbols that each one of us knows, symbols each one of us has experienced at various places in our time. The symbols of darkness and the ability of light to push back that darkness. John reaches in to pull a passage from the prophet Isaiah, which was written in a very difficult time for God's people. Jerusalem had been destroyed, the temple was gone, thousands had died, and many of God's people were then carried into exile. And in that very bleak kind of situation, we have these words. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On them, light has shone. And then that famous next verse, for unto us is born a son, a child is given, and his name shall be Emmanuel. That's a Hebrew word. But in English, it simply means God is with us. And for John, that scripture is the best way to tell the story of what it means to have Christmas. What it means to have the Christ child come into the world. You can do it in story form. You can do it in narrative, and Matthew and Luke do that. But John goes deeper. And he says, this is not just a story about a baby. This is a story about everything that child represents. And the fact that that child is going to make a difference in the world. And here's the other half of the claim. In your life and in my life. Now, every Advent, you probably remember that we have four candles up here that we light. Peace, hope, joy, and love. Think about that for a second. If there are four things that we're missing in the world, that's them. And the message of Christmas that comes through our tradition, that comes through our faith, simply says this. We believe in the power of God. We believe in the power of God to the point that we believe that the power of God is stronger than all of that which opposes God. John puts it this way. A light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Have you ever thought about that? That may well be the most radical statement in the Bible. In the darkness. What I love about John is he doesn't dodge the difficult question. He acknowledges the reality of darkness. It's there. Maybe not today, but every one of us have at various points in our lives had things that we struggle with. It could be financial, it could be occupational, it could be family, it could be anything. But there are moments in life when we struggle. And the message is, into even those situations, God's light can shine. Have you turned on the news lately? Even there, God's light can shine. And so we as Christians are bold to claim something and to print, to claim it for ourselves and to proclaim it to the world. We believe that joy is stronger than sadness. We believe that hope is stronger than despair. We believe that love is stronger than hatred. And in summing that up in John's wonderful imagery, we actually believe in the power of light to shine into wherever in our world and wherever in our lives that we need that message. Even in times of life that are going well, that's a good thing to know. What's Christmas about? What's the message of Christmas? You probably could get 100 different answers from 100 different people. It means a lot of things. But just remember, at the heart of our faith is this. It is an affirmation that with the coming of Jesus into the world, with the birth that we celebrate, we affirm light in darkness, and the darkness is powerless. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us join together in the prayer of consecration. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
Lord, it is right and a good and proper thing that we should always and everywhere give thanks to you. You are indeed the God of creation, who's created this wonderful world and created us in your image. Throughout history, you have been faithful to us, even in those times when we have not been faithful to you. You made covenant with us to be our God and King. You sent prophets and others. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, nurtured the water of the womb and the water of baptism. He came to us, born of flesh, born of the Son of Mary. He healed, he taught, he ate with sinners. He embraced and included people that others would exclude. The night he was betrayed, in that last week, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread. It was the Passover. And the Passover service is a scripted service. There are certain things that you say, and they're said the same year after year after year, except that year, Jesus did not say what had been said every other year. Because normally, as you would take the bread, you would remember the Exodus. You would remember that God, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, delivered God's people out of slavery and brought them to the promised land. And the bread was a reminder that it happened so quickly the bread did not have time to rise. That night, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he said something that had never been said before. This is my body, broken for you. Looking forward to the next day in the crucifixion, not back in history. Whenever you do this, remember me. When the supper was over, he took a cup again. The tradition was this was the cup of Elijah, the cup after the meal. It's a cup that symbolized that God's people are ready to receive what God has to offer. Tradition said Elijah would return, and when Elijah returned, the Messiah would come. But that night, Jesus took the cup, and again, he said words that had never been said before. He said, not looking back, but looking forward, this is a cup of a new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you do this, remember me. We'd like to invite those who are going to be serving you to come forward to receive, after which time we'll be inviting you to come receive communion. As our servers take our station, our tradition here is to take by intinction. It might be different from the tradition you're raised in, but we're going to invite you to come by the center now. You'll be taking a piece of bread and simply dip it into the cup and then receive the elements in both kind. As you're up here, we would remind you that the offering for Christmas can be placed on either side along with your registration. This is God's table. It is not a Methodist table. It is not a Highland Park table. It is open to all who desire to come. Welcome to God's table.
Did he opt for the three stations, or did he want four?
I think he wanted to go with three because people weren't going yet. Chelsea. You might be ready just in case somebody needs If anyone would like to receive gluten-free, if as you come forward, you would simply let us know in the center. We'll be happy to serve you. The symbolism is simple but profound. We take the light from the Christ candle, symbolizing the message of Christmas. Our two candle lighters will receive the light and pass it on to them. You are invited to do two things. First is to receive the light, not just the light of a candle, but everything that it represents, and then turn and pass that light on to others. As we do this, the room will gradually be filled with light as we sing Silent Night. The last verse, we're going to ask you to raise your candles high, driving back the darkness. We will end with Joy to the World. Silent Night. Gospel of Luke, a few days after the birth of Jesus, his parents took him to the temple to fulfill what was required by the law. There in the temple was waiting a man by the name of Simeon. He had been told by God that he would not die before the Messiah came. And so Luke says, day and night he stayed in the temple. On beholding the Christ child, he exclaimed, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Joy to the world. Amen.